Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for the program. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the literary world. My guest today is David Alan Johnson. He has just published his latest novel, Asgard, a rather gritty look at the seamier side of corporate and government intervention in Africa. David, it is great to have you on the program.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, I'd like to start with a question that has nothing to do with Asgard, but it's been bothering me greatly for days. On the cover of the book, you go by D. Alan Johnson. Yet, in emails and telephone calls, you go by David. What's the story?
Well, there's a professor named David Alan Johnson, spells his name exactly like mine, and he writes some very liberal books quite different than mine, and I didn't want to be confused with him, so I decided that I'd go by D. Alan Johnson to avoid that kind of confusion.
That's probably a good answer. Actually, that's the second time in the past few weeks that I've heard that answer. I was talking to another author who did a similar thing, and his problem was that his name matched exactly to a quite well-known Second World War general.
Oh.
And he realized that anyone that went on Google and searched for him would just find the general.
Right.
Okay, back to the plot. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who is David Alan Johnson?
I'm just a Texas boy. I grew up in Texas. Went off to the 82nd Airborne after high school. And after doing my 4 years for my country, got out, used my GI Bill to become a pilot, and just happened to apply at a place that was owned by several retired Air America pilots.
Uh-oh.
If you're familiar with Air America, was a large airline owned by the CIA during
yes,
the Korean and Vietnam Wars. Well, the another war popped up in Nicaragua in 1986, and Ollie North called my boss looking for people. And my boss took me down to Nicaragua. That was my first job in the contracting world as a private military contractor. And I've been in that world pretty much ever since. And I worked for State Department, the Department of Defense, other government agencies, some for some the intelligence operations of some major oil companies. And that's how I make my living.
It certainly sounds like an interesting way to cover the rent bill.
Well, it's a lot better than having a job.
Well, without giving away any secrets, what kind of aircraft do you fly?
I fly a King Air 200 right now. It's about a 10-passenger airplane, and it's quite common around the world, best-selling turboprop ever.
And, I know the King Air.
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked in the oil and gas business in Alberta, Canada, and King Air was one of the planes that was the workhorse.
Right, right.
Get people somewhere. King Air was the way to do it.
Yes, sir.
Without giving away any spoilers, can you tell us a little bit about Asgard?
Well, yes. It takes place in southern Congo, and a young man has taken over a very rich mining area, and he is taking out the gold and diamonds and tantalum for his own use, and some other people, mainly multinational corporations, are greedy for that, and they mount an operation to take over those mines. And the main story revolves around the characters that are impacted in that takeover. There's a missionary in jail. There's a mercenary pilot. There's a CIA operative, and how they interact and get acted upon by these political upheavals in Africa.
I am a book lover, and I'm also a book reviewer, but I make a very excuse me, conscientious effort to not be a book critic. I leave that up to English literature teachers, and I think they should all be taken out back and shot. But that's for another program. But there are, however, certain elements that I do look for in a book. I guess subconsciously, and it's just because I do read so much. And one of those elements is what I like to refer to as the hook.
Yeah.
This is where the author captures the reader's attention, and it needs to be early on in the book. In fact, I would say within the first 20 or 30 pages. You know, if you haven't got the hook set by then, you've lost the reader, and they're going to just drift off and do something else.
Right.
You use your character Bixby as the hook, and I have to say that you do it in just a magnificent manner.
Well, thank you.
You chum the waters with him, and then you also use him as the bait. He's by no means a throwaway character. He does remain a significant person throughout the book, but he's hardly the main focus. Was this an intentional move by you, or did it just evolve while you were writing?
Well, I think it just evolved. I'm still learning my craft as a novelist, and Bixby Wilson is a corporate intelligence guy, and I modeled him after a guy I know that works for a large oil company. A lot of people don't know that large corporations have intelligence operations. You know, Exxon's intelligence operation started in 1876 and today is larger than France's CIA. But I just put him in there and had him act as I thought this guy would act in those circumstances.
Yes. And I mean, Bixby is just a wonderful character because, you know, although he's not the suit and tie guy that you would, assume a corporate person would be, he's certainly not field savvy, shall we say.
Exactly.
In fact, I think at the in the very beginning of the book, part of the hook, you know, is Bixby's headed off to this big meeting to explain his findings, and you know, he's wearing the one and only suit he has,
right?
And he's just not very happy about the whole deal.
Yeah.
Asgard is set in Africa, the Congo to be exact. Africa has always been volatile. You know, I won't say a history expert, but I do like history, and You know, if you look at Africa, just look back over the last 100 years, it has always been a continent in conflict in one way or another. And on the very last page of Asgard, your character Brett asks the question, will Africa ever change? What is your answer to that question?
I think it will, but I think that they still have 60 or 80 more years of very tumultuous conflict. But I've seen changes since I've started working there in the early 90s. And certain countries are prospering and progressing, even while others are still hell on earth. But the thing that, you know, God has cursed Africa with huge resources of timber, oil, gold and diamonds, strategic minerals, and this is the center of a great deal of conflict in that area.
Essentially, there's greed, if that's what you want.
Exactly.
You know, I look back to the 70s and Idi Amin in Uganda.
Right.
I mean, horrible, horrible stuff. I look back to Ian Smith's Rhodesia.
Right.
And again, horrible, horrible stuff. Is it the Hutus and the Tutus? They didn't see eye to eye.
Tutsis and Hutus. Yeah.
Tutsis.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is a continent that is a kind of powder keg. I'm interested that you think that, yes, it will settle down, but it won't be anytime soon.
Right.
Hmm. What sort of reader feedback have you been getting about Asgard?
Well, you know, I've mostly given books out to people in my business, and I think that they're a little bit skewed. They've liked it, and you know, you're the first regular person that has read the book, and I was thrilled at the review that you gave me, that you know, it wasn't so arcane in my business that it was you know, indecipherable.
Oh, I thought it was just a wonderful story. It kind of, in some ways, reminded me of Frederick Forsyth's great book, The Dogs of War.
Now that is a huge compliment.
No, I mean, your characters are completely different from Forsyth's, and
mm-hmm.
You know, the story is completely different. But yeah, as I was reading it, I was thinking, Dogs of War, Dogs of War. Asgard is not your first book. What else do you have in print?
Well, the first one that I wrote was How to Get a Job in the War on Terrorism. And it's a book about this industry that I work in, and what type of people are sought after by the contractors that are supporting the U.S. government and its operations, and how a person can prepare themselves and get into this industry. That's there's a huge demand for people, and I sell that as an e-book. It's done fairly well. I mean, not enough to pay the rent, but. And then I wrote a book on Colombia, and the FARC is the, as you know, the communist guerrilla faction there in Colombia, And the premise of the book is they decide that they're going to take over a piece of the country and make it a sovereign nation, which they almost did at one point back in the mid-90s. And about the people that are tasked to stop that development. And that one I still have at an editor's right now. It was my first effort and had some, shall we say, structural problems. But we're getting that rewritten. And, you know, as Hemingway said, there's no good writers, there's only good rewriters. So I'm trying to be a good rewriter on that one.
Do you have an ETA on when we might be seeing it on bookshelves?
Probably another 3 months is what I'd say. I just I got back another suggestion for a different ending, which is a wonderful, I think, change, and so I need to rewrite the ending. So I'd say 3 months would be a pretty good guess.
I know that you spend a good deal of time out of the country.
Right.
What is your kind of schedule like? You know, a month away, 2 weeks home.
Well, it varies. You know, to the project that I'm on right now, it is 28 days out, 14 days home. But I had one that was 15 days out, 15 days home. Another I've done 35 out, 35 home. You know, one real bad one was 72 days out, 4 days home. That was a bad
one. I hope they were paying big dollars.
They were paying big dollars. It was a. And you know, the good thing about this, you actually see some social changes in, you know, I mean, you're making history. And
mm-hmm.
in the place we were in a very large struggle with some people that were killing the locals and for political power, assassinating mayors and stuff, and we, in a period of 9 months, made a huge difference in that area. So yes, it was good money, but it was also, you know, you get a thank you note from a guy that you got back from being kidnapped. Now that's a trophy.
Oh, I would say so. Again, completely off topic, if you will. You live in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, or I can't remember which part of Texas, but there's been a lot of publicity recently about what's going on in the border towns just south of the border in Mexico. And the body count is enormous.
Right.
I mean, do you think that there's anything we can do to, you know, stop this? I understand, you know, Mexico is Mexico. We have no rights, if you will, you know, but something's got to give.
Yes, you know, as a matter of fact, I used to live on the border. I used to live 7 miles north of the border in McAllen, Texas. And I moved my family north because of the changes that were happening. It used to be paradise. But, I mean, even right around Christmas, there was a very large gunfight, 46 people killed on the Mexican side. The bullets came across the river and were striking cars in the parking lot at Southmost University in Brownsville. And, you know, my friends that work law enforcement along the border have been issued automatic military-style weapons because there are paramilitary organizations that are escorting the drug shipments into the United States, incursions into the United States. I own rental property down there. It's been destroyed by the hordes of people coming north. It's you know, it's out in the country, and it's a bad deal.
Well, I lived for almost 10 years in San Diego.
Ah.
And we would make the occasional trip to Tijuana.
Right.
I would never go willingly. It was inevitably because we had people visiting us. Suddenly, when you have an address in San Diego, all of your relatives want to come stay.
Exactly. Yes.
But you know, I didn't enjoy TJ at all, and I'm pretty certain today, if I was still living in San Diego, it would be just off limits. I mean, that is a town that seems to have had hundreds of corpses this year alone.
Well, you know, Mexico has overtaken Colombia as the kidnap capital of the world, and you're smart staying out of there.
Okay, let's go back to Asgard for a moment. I know that all of our listeners are just itching to get their hands on a copy. Where can people buy it?
Amazon.com right now. I have it there. If you just do a search for Asgard, Asgaard. It'll come up, and that's the best place to have it. I just have it in a couple of Central Texas bookstores right now. As I get more exposure, I hope to get it in some more bookstores.
A question for you. The title, where does it come from?
Well, the years ago, I was approached by a large company for me and a friend of mine to parachute into a city, much like the one that I described, surrounded by mines, and that was the name that the photo analyst had given it, was Asgard. And if you know the Squints, the photo analysts, they have a sense of humor. We investigated the city and decided that there was no way that we could mount an operation to take back the mine. But it stuck in my mind, and years later I thought, what would have happened if we had tried to take that city? And that's where this novel came from.
Hmm. And do you have a website with more information, etc.?
Yes, it's www.dallanjohnson.com. That's D and A-L-A-N, Johnson.com.
You're pretty much what I would class as a seasoned veteran author. So I know that you've figured out the three ugly stages of the process. There's writing, publishing, and marketing.
Yes, sir.
You publish on Figint. I think that's the...
Right.
I'm not familiar with them. Is that a traditional house or POD?
It is not. That is a small publishing company that I own. And I hope to publish some other authors in my group of acquaintances in this kind of business. And so it's you might say I have two startups, my publishing company and my novel writing.
So you're definitely going to be focusing on a particular style of book.
Right.
Now, let's talk marketing. I mean, in my opinion, you know, writing, publishing, and marketing, those three awful things. Writing's really hard. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort, and along comes an editor and wax out huge amounts of text going, no, no, you don't want to be doing that. You know? So you've written the book. You now deal with the publisher, and SIGINT is your own invention. Did you try the traditional route?
No, I didn't. That may come after I retire, but I feel like with the business I have, I'd be much better selling smaller amounts of books at a better profit to military business type people that I deal with. I do some public speaking and interact with some active duty people than going to a big house and selling more books but making less on each one.
Right. In fact, the publishing industry, if you want my opinion, is in complete disarray right now. You know, an author doesn't stand a chance unless you're rich and famous and have a ghost-written biography.
Yeah.
Or your name is John Grissom.
Right.
Yeah. Everyone else, don't even bother. And don't even try to get an agent. What about marketing? Are you doing book signings, that kind of thing? Or?
I'm going for my first book signing on Saturday, and hope to have some more soon afterwards. I also want to go on do some public speaking. I've got some speeches lined up at the Transition Center, U.S. Army. When people retire, they have a transition course where they have different recruiters come in, and I'm going to go talk to them about going into contracting, and have my book on how to get a job in the war on terrorism for sale there.
How long have you been a contractor?
Started in 86.
Oh, 96. Oh, quite a long time.
Yes, sir.
I would guess you obviously know your way around the that particular aspect.
I know quite a few of the players. You know, it's not a very large industry.
You write fiction, but you already mentioned that Bixby Wilson was loosely based on someone in real life. Is David in Asgard as well?
No, I am in my first one, but I am not in Asgard.
Right, now, I know that you're reworking your first novel, and you said it would hopefully be somewhere close to being done
right
in about 3 months. What's next? Do you have something else lined up?
I got seconded to another government agency many years ago and worked in that in the DEA as a bad guy for a while. And I'm writing a novel about the cartels joined together to buy an entire government. And
Sounds a bit like Mexico.
And what happens in that project, and it's called the Grace Bay Agreement, and I'm about a third of the way through that one. But I have a horrible confession to make. I'm in the middle of another book that's nonfiction on how to use intelligence processes in a small business to give you better early warning information on your competitors and your suppliers, and to keep other outfits from spying on you.
That sounds interesting. Actually, I I spent many years working in corporate America, and knowledge is an asset. Information is an asset.
Right.
And protecting information is important, and gleaning information is equally important.
Right.
You are a very well-traveled, and from what I've been able to figure out, it's mainly areas that have problems.
Right.
I've been a news junkie for many, many years, and in fact, for the past couple of years, I've actually jumped feet first into the world of journalism, for better or for worse.
Yes, I have heard some of your broadcasts on that the little girl in Florida.
Right. Yes. We have some great new audio that we're just about to publish. The world, through my eyes, is not getting safer and more stable. In fact, it seems to be headed in exactly the opposite direction. Or am I wrong? Is it just that the news reporting today is so much faster, it's so much more global, we hear about it quicker?
No, I think that we do hear about it quicker, but there's a lot going on. I guess all I can really say is that there's a lot of job security in my business.
I like that. That was a very good answer. You know, in these tough economic times, everyone needs job security.
Right.
David, alas, our time is up, but it has been delightful talking to you, and I do want to wish you every success with Asgard, and I do hope that I'll have an opportunity to read your other books in the future.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network, wishing everyone a wonderful day. I've been talking to David Alan Johnson, who has a wonderful book out, Asgard. If you are looking for an action adventure, Asgard might just be the ticket. David, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir.
You have yourself a great day.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye.